Let's begin with the current picture of search. You wrote in a letter to staff shortly after you came on that search would incur a $4 million loss from 2011. And I guess I want to begin with, you know, when did you start to get that clear picture of search's finances? Was that before you started work, after you started? How did that picture develop for you?
The general realization for me happened probably the day I arrived on the job, but you start to get ideas before. You know, I had correspondence with some staff and just trying to understand what I was getting into, and you notice there were some cash flow challenges. And the day that I got here to Juneau, it was immediately apparent. You know, there's issues with you know, creditors and accounts payable and vendors, and so it was pretty obvious that there were some challenges walking in the door. And you know, my approach has been and continues to be trying to be as completely forthright with stakeholders as possible, with our tribal partners, with our employees, with our board of directors, and you know, sharing with them our situation. We can participate collectively in the opportunity to correct the challenges. So you know, there was hints of it along the way, but I think the real wake up call was actually the day that I arrived. It just became immediately apparent to me.
That seems like maybe a new approach for search, and certainly an uncommon approach in management, that level of transparency where all hands are brought in on all topics, and you really are sharing a lot of information with people. Why take that approach? Why offer that much information?
I think it's maybe a unique style, and you know, time will tell if it's the right approach. But you know, I've spent a lot of years as a manager and as a C-level executive and as a board member, and this is my first 10 years as CEO, and I'm approaching it as if I was a staff member, and if I was a board member, if I was a community stakeholder, what would I want? How would I want people to treat me? How would I want people to engage me and inform me and of what's going on? I generally have a belief that collectively we all want the same thing. We want search to be successful. We want our patients to be happy and healthy and satisfied. We want to be in business for a long time. We want to be active participants, positive change agents in the community. And I don't think anybody would disagree, any of the stakeholders of search would disagree with any of those statements. But if they don't have the information and they don't understand the challenges clearly, how could they genuinely contribute to their fullest potential? And so my approach has been one of trying to be as inclusive as possible.
And are they engaging back? I mean, are staff members and other stakeholders saying, okay, I've read what you had to say. Here are some of my ideas. Here are some things I hope you don't do. Here are some things I think you should do.
You know, I think so. I mean, it's hard to tell. You know, that, you know, different people have different comfort levels in terms of iterative participation. You know, I make it a point to respond to all employee emails, you know, my style, and it is yet to be determined if it's effective or not, has been, you know, it's a very personal approach. And that when people comment and give me feedback, I try to include it in the matrix. You know, I mean, you put it in the pile of things that you consider when decisions need to be made. And we have been adjusting course as we've received feedback. There are sometimes we can take that information, adjust course, and there are other times we can't. But it is certainly goes into the stack of data for consideration when decisions are getting made. It means a lot. The collective input, the individual input, how people feel about things, it's going to be important in sort of establishing a rapport with the communities, with the employees, with the patients. So, you know, we take it all. I mean, it's not just me. It's the whole leadership team here at Search. We try to take all the input we can and make the best possible decisions.
When your letter came out and you mentioned the loss, the $4 million loss, I went back and looked at the previous year's annual report or financial report. And in that, the then CEO Roald Helgeson mentioned that 2010 was a pretty good year, that things were on target, infrastructure and programs were growing, the finances were in balance. And so the question I had then was, what happened between whatever made him say that and the current picture today?
There are several things going on over the last several years, and they've impacted tribal organizations across the state. I don't know. I can't speak for Mr. Helgeson and what his thought process was. But many tribal organizations, including CERCH, have been the recipient of sort of these unique windfalls that were associated with the large stimulus packages that came through Congress over the last several years during the economic downturn. My guess would be that that played a significant part. I mean, those windfalls for tribal organizations were multiple millions of dollars, but they were largely unanticipated. And so if you think about multiple millions of dollars of windfalls and margins of hundreds of thousands of dollars, you can do the math pretty quickly without sort of these unexpected or unanticipated dollar amounts that you would actually be running at a loss. And I think year over year, from what I can see, and again, I don't want to speak for previous leadership, but there has been a lot of iterative change here at CERCH over the course of years. And there has been no fundamental adjustments made. I think, so if you don't have these sort of unanticipated, unexpected windfalls and you're not really making substantial course corrections, you go from a several hundred thousand dollar positive margin to a multiple million dollar negative margin. And the fact of the matter is that costs for the services we provide are increasing. We're a large purchaser of pharmaceuticals. We're a large purchaser of energy. We're a large purchaser of labor. And those costs aren't fixed. Those are escalating costs. And our ability to sort of keep up with inflation and medical inflation in particular, you have to wonder over time. And so I think what we're doing is we're sort of realizing a series of things that happen over multiple years. When you have multiple years of unanticipated positive windfall, at some point when you don't get that, you really have to pay the price tag.
A lot of government finance folks I talk to in covering, state and local government will talk about falling off the cliff and not wanting to put infusions into operational expenses because eventually those infusions will run out and then they're in a bind. Is that what you're saying is kind of happening, that cliff has arrived, that the windfall that they'd been relying on hasn't shown up and this time?
I think partly, yeah. I mean, CERCH has grown, undoubtedly it has grown over the years. And if you look at our ability to sustain based on our year-over-year operations, it is just not there. And so what we've been relying on is these unanticipated windfalls to support operations. And, so in the year where these unanticipated windfalls don't come in, we're sort of left in a lurch. And you compound that with this tenuous political environment where theoretically, October 1, we will get our lump sum funding agreement for our contract with the Indian Health Service. That didn't happen last year, and it probably won't happen this year in consideration of it being an election year. Congress probably, it is theorized that they won't pass a budget, at least for our programs. And so we're going to be working off a continuing resolution, which means you get 30 days of money at a time. And when you run a large operation with no cash reserves and no operating reserves, that's a precarious situation.
How big is that piece of the pie, the IHS money?
It's over $45 million. Yeah. Our compact is north of $45 million.
And in the grand scheme of things, what's CERCH's total then?
This year, I believe our budget is somewhere in the neighborhood of about $116 million.
Okay, so we're coming up on, that's better than a third, pushing half of your money.
Yeah, I think it's half of our, it largely is half of our money. I mean, we have our grants that we get, they come in and they go out for very specific things. But in terms of our general operating budget, it's about half. And so when that is off the table, and the other half comes in from cash collections and third-party insurance and things like that, there's a lag there. There's a natural lag between when you send out a bill and when you get paid. And if we're basically cash in, cash out, like I said, it's a very tenuous position to be in.
Yeah. In your letter, you mentioned changes in the weeks ahead from the announcement of the loss. And you said they would be difficult, perhaps even heart-wrenching. I assume by now some of those are in the works or in place. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, we've been working very hard trying to lay a positive foundation for future success. You know, there are many things that just had not been addressed historically here at Search, in my opinion. I mean, everybody has an opinion. You know, we've adjusted things like our indirect cost agreement, you know, associated with our compact. You know, like I said, $45 million of our revenue comes in the form of Indian Health Service compact. We had an indirect cost agreement that had not been addressed in years, and it substantially short-funded ourselves with regards to indirect costs, you know, particularly associated with fixed costs here at Search, you know, like administrative costs, electricity, insurance, things like that. We were leaving money on the table. And we've been working with folks, and we've got a new, you know, indirect cost rate, which will be substantial, you know, there'll be substantial dollars associated with that in future years. There's challenges with electronic health records, challenges with our, you know, the way in which we do billing and revenue cycle management.
Challenges in terms of all things that you're going to need to be spending some money on in the weeks ahead.
Yeah. Well, I think it's, yeah, if we're going to be successful, we have to have the right infrastructure in place. And infrastructure is just really a broad catch-all, but there are systems and tools in place like electronic health records and the ability to collect bills through the revenue cycle and the appropriate equipment for our providers to see patients. And you know, I would argue that those investments had not been made in accordance with what I feel would be the appropriate rate. You know, I think a part of our challenge has to do with you know, giving our employees the right tools to be successful, the right support to be successful. And that's going to be a major focus of mine.
There have been some changes announced, I understand, in terms of benefits and other things that the employees are going to recognize or feel. Mm-hmm. What are some of those changes in terms of employee experience?
Yeah, you know, there's lots of conversations around I don't want to sort of over theorize this, but the employer-employee compact. I mean, what it is we ask of employees and what employees ask of us as employers. But more specifically to your question, I guess we have begun the process of transition to the Federal Employee Benefits Program. Under the Indian Healthcare Improvement Act that was passed 2 years ago, starting May 1st, tribal organizations and tribal compactors are eligible to enroll their employees in the Federal Employee Benefits Program. That's a substantial departure from how benefits were conducted here at Search in the past, and it's a bit of a change. And I think, you know, some people see it as a negative. Because, you know, it is a change. And the benefits program here at Search was largely the benefits here at Search was a self-insured health insurance program. And we spent considerably more than a comparable, you know, size organization. And, you know, moving towards the Federal Employee Benefits Program really puts us on par with other organizations, the federal government, for instance, other tribal organizations, other governmental type organizations. So our benefits will be more like theirs, which is going to be different. I mean, I think historically, Search had not charged copays and deductibles for employees, whether they were insured or not. You know, that will change because we are no longer the owner of the insurance plan. Before, as we were self-insured, we can dictate largely the rules of these things. Now that we're buying more or less traditional insurance, the rules that we're going to be playing by will be dictated by the people we buy insurance from, which would be, you know, ultimately the federal government, but it's going to be through, you know, one of 15, you know, employees are eligible to choose 15 different programs.
Are you worried about losing talent, losing employees who were initially attracted to that benefits program?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I'm probably more worried about just general employee morale. You know, there's a difficult set of circumstances, and, you know, coming in new, being asked to make lots of difficult decisions, and me, employees not knowing me, who I am, what my approach and what my style is, and coming right out of the chute and asking them for these considerations is a difficult proposition for me. It's a difficult proposition for our management team. We're in a difficult, you know, spot financially, and we are asking for these considerations from our employees, and we realize it's a tenuous thing that we have to demonstrate to employees, you know, that we value them, we want them to be here, and that we support them. And when you don't have money to do that, that becomes a difficult exercise. And so my approach has been to try to weigh in with transparency and participation to say, you know, I'm open to any number of suggestions on how to solve these problems. My email is known to anybody that wants to look it up, and I receive all emails and I try to respond. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you don't have the money, you don't have the money.
Paid time off, I think, was originally part of the plan to make some changes. And as I understand, Search kind of walked back from that and decided against making changes there. Mm-hmm. Why was that?
You know, I think it was largely due to the feedback. You know, the reality of the PTO conversation was for me, I'll speak only for me. I don't want to speak for my whole team. It was really just one of those things that if you look at how other people are handling leave and time off and trying to put your organization on comparable footing, so when you're trying to measure performance and you're trying to measure compensation, you could really get a good sense. How Search does it and how they've historically done it is fairly unique to Search. And it is not, it's just not comparable to what happens in other places. You know, we don't have a short-term disability program. That's kind of, I mean, that's interesting. I mean, maybe that's one way to put it. And so trying to say to providers that, you know, your time off looks like this and your disability programs look like that, and you can compare those cleanly against other people in the market who are recruiting against, you know, in the end, it was one of those things that it was going to cost us money to do. But there was a thought among some that it was something we should do so people could get a clear sense. But quite frankly, we got a lot of feedback on it, and we made the adjustments to say, you know, it isn't, in the big scheme of things, it wasn't as important to do as it was to try to demonstrate to employees that we are listening, and that we do appreciate and value their feedback, and where we can give, we will give. And where we can't give, we can't give. But those things that we can do, we will sure try to do.
That message of we hear your concerns and we're going to attempt to address them, in this case, outweighed the benefits of just making that cut.
Yeah, no, I think it's one of those things where that you know, I'm trying to be very clear that, you know, we don't have all the answers. We're in an incredibly precarious position. I think, you know, for me, the thought of having a thousand people who depend on an organization and you know, 15,000 patients that depend on us to be here to deliver care, and our financial circumstances, it's a very, very serious matter. And that we need to ensure our financial viability for our patients, for our employees, for the communities that we live in. And, you know, I don't have the lock on all the answers. I'm not standing here saying I do. We are trying to make the adjustments as quickly as we can so we can reduce the risk as quickly as we can. You know, and I think that's the most important thing. I mean, nobody is here to make changes for the sake of making changes. We are trying to do these things to ensure the long-term success and viability of Search and the long-term health of our patients and our employees. I certainly don't. I mean, I'll be honest. I don't receive any satisfaction at all from being the bearer of bad news. I think you've seen some of the letters I send out, but I send out letters on a weekly basis. To my employees, to my board, and generally to anybody who wants to know what's going on here. And I wish I had good news. I mean, I wish I had just good news after good news. But unfortunately, some of these things are difficult to overcome. And that isn't to say that it isn't sprinkled with good things here and there. It really is. The long-term prospects, I think, for search are phenomenal. But it's really making these short-term adjustments and through this transition phase that is the challenge right now.
My last question on the current situation, I think, is a question that is probably first in the minds of people who are employees, and because of the number of employees search has, probably first in the mind of people who just live and work in Southeast Alaska, and that is, has there been a reduction in force? Is that a conversation right now, layoffs?
There hasn't been a reduction in force, but this morning we just announced a hiring slowdown. You know, search has more than 100 vacancies open right now. We're a large organization. We have vacancies all the time. And so, you know, at this point in time, due to our financial considerations, we are going to do a slowdown. What does that mean? Well, we're essentially going to push the pause button on all the positions that aren't patient-facing positions. They're not providers. They're not involved in direct care, or they're not critical to the operations. We receive a lot of grants. We have a lot of discretionary type of – I shouldn't say discretionary – it's a big company. There's lots of parts and pieces that go into making it work. And some of them, there's elasticity in some of those positions. You know, do we need to have an extra administrative assistant in Juneau? Well, no, that can wait. Ultimately, you know, you ask one person to do two people's job, it's not sustainable over a long period of time. But at this time, we're pushing the pause button and we're going to sort of evaluate everything. But there has been no reduction in force.